Although it may be a bit hard. The Lord made it really clear that this word is for a person or some specific people in this room today. And young people, listen up, because it may be for you in particular. Don't know, I've never really sort of had a leaning like that before, but it may be a word for y'all. I was just taken during the worship to the conversation that Jesus had with Peter when the controversy about his claims to be the Messiah that was going to die actually struck the heart of the disciples, and people were abandoning him and going their own way. For some reason, that just hit me really hard. And remember, Jesus asked Peter, "Are you going to go?" And Peter said, "Lord, I have nowhere else to go. For you, I know, are the only way." If you're in a situation that has just come, and you know that it is calling you away from the ancient things, the Lord is reminding you, you really don't have any other place to go. Mm-hmm. If you go there, you know what will happen when you go there. It may be something that has been longstanding. You know, where you're discouraged and you feel like you just want to say, you know what we say. The Lord today is saying, press on, press in, hold on to the ancient ways. Do not abandon ship. If you will push through, you will see what the Lord has for you in those situations instead of what you may be pursuing.
Amen. Along those same lines, I was seeing a picture this morning of all of us because, well, just take it if it applies to you, but sometimes it was like I saw the Lord just walking along, and the sun was bright and shining on him, and everything was light and beautiful. But sometimes we all just choose to step into the darkness. And I don't know why we do that. It's just like he was saying, we turn away to something else. Something else draws us away. But we just always need to remember that all we have to do is turn around and step back into the light.
I have a word for Dominic. And I already have a mic. So you have gone into some dark places, some dark and dangerous places. And I see you out, you know, on water and with rushes and things around you. I don't know where you've been and what you've done. But I also see angels with you. And he wants you to know that there are more with you than there are with them.
Funny you should say that. I'll just go ahead and give you a warning. I've watched another superhero movie. Yep. That was the plot of the story. There are more of us than there are of them.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. So if you paid attention to the gospel reading, the last few verses of the gospel reading, to me it's curious, interesting, that I can take out this little thing here, I can punch up a weather app, and I can know what the weather's doing. I can have access to live radar. I can know what the clouds are doing in real time, where it's raining, where it's not. With the help of the internet and the sensors that the U.S. Geological Survey have established all around the world, within a matter of minutes or maybe hours, if there's an earthquake in Guam, I can know about it. Not only can I know about it, but I can know that it was 4.3 miles beneath the Earth and that it registered 6.2 on the Richter scale. And I can get word whether there were any injuries, any buildings destroyed. But how can I not interpret the present time? That's the question that Jesus asks his disciples. And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves. How do we interpret the present time? And Jesus in this situation was talking to his disciples and to the crowds. And as I was studying this, I had this thing in my mind where, and I'll just tell you, I like to think of Jesus in this situation as James Spann. So let's say for a minute that it's April in Alabama, and it's 85 degrees outside, and the skies are dark. So you turn on the TV, there's James Spann. He's got his coat off. If it's bad, he's got his sleeves rolled up and his tie loosened, right? Yep. This, in a way, is Jesus. He's in a situation, and we've heard through these last several weeks, Father Mark has said it multiple times, he's setting his face toward Jerusalem. It's the message is no longer the lion laying down with the lamb. It's no longer the Prince of Peace. The message coming out of Jesus' mouth is more intense, because everything's coming to a head. Jesus knows that his time is close. The time is at hand. His crucifixion is not that far away. And so today I want to talk about fire and division. Jesus said, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Now you might ask yourself, what happened to, for instance, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 32, where Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." How does he draw all men to himself if he's here to bring division? The word that Jesus speaks is truth. It's pure truth. There is no falsehood at all in the word that Jesus speaks. He says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, but rather division. And then he goes into an interesting scenario. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided. Father against son, son, father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, and so on. The word of the Lord is truth. The word of the Lord is fire. The word of the Lord in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, for years in this church, we prayed the prayer, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may be made worthy of your love. Division in the family. Many of us have experienced it, right? We may have had situations where a sibling has cut ties with us. You know, it may be that you know, you try to bring God's love and God's truth to them, and they didn't receive it. You might have had a parent leave the family by not receiving the word of the Lord. And really, what that is in the basis of it many times is selfishness. Because we're all selfish in one way or another. And we get into things where we don't really see or hear the word of the Lord, right? We don't hear what God is trying to say to us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How do we interpret the time? Jesus calls us to share his gospel, which is the truth. So we share it the best way we can. People receive it or they don't. You know, some of those people that don't receive it may be people very, very close to us. And this is an example of that word of the Lord that pierces sharper than any two-edged sword. In Luke chapter 21, verse 16, it even says, you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and kinsmen and friends. Think about after Jesus' crucifixion and the disciples scattered. And there were people that saw different disciples running through the crowd or trying to hide because they were scared. They're human beings. And they said, "You were the one. You were with him, right? It's you. You're one of them. You'll be delivered up." I said earlier that the word of the Lord at this point in the gospel is no longer lovey-dovey, for lack of a better word. Matthew 19, it's curious to me. Jesus says in that chapter, "Let the children come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And that's a loving verse. But in between it, on either side of it, are two of the toughest passages of Scripture that you'll ever see. Before it, you have the teaching on divorce, and after it, you have the teaching on the rich man. He says, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Follow the commandments." And the man says, "I've done all that." And Jesus said, "Well, then sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me." And he walks away. That's the division. And we see in society and culture, you know, I had my cell phone out just a minute ago, and cell phones can be a point of division, right? Can put up a barrier between us and others. Turn on the TV, have the news. Everybody seems to take a side one way or the other. How do we interpret the time? Are we using the word of the Lord and the tradition of the church to interpret the time? Or are we looking at our cell phone? Are we looking at our feeds? Are we looking at news to get our interpretation? Where is our interpretation coming from? The prophet Jeremiah, he was a great prophet, struggled because there were some false prophets. And we have to be weary of false prophets too. And before I get into the Old Testament reading, I just want to say I'm really blessed and thankful for the series of sermons that we've had the past several weeks. Father Don, three weeks ago, preached on the glory of God and how it fills the temple. And here today we read the first verse in our Jeremiah reading. Jeremiah says that the Lord says, "Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in the secret places that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" God is everywhere. Right, Father Don? But if I have to be honest with myself, which I do, I don't always believe that. If I did, I wouldn't do some of the things that I do, you know? And we all try to put our own constraints on the Lord and things that we want to believe and things that we don't want to believe. But with the Lord, all is truth. Jeremiah was having trouble with some of the prophets. And you can look on the earlier verses from our reading. In chapter 23, it describes them. Like the prophets in Samaria, they were prophesying by a false god, Baal. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. And now the prophets in Jerusalem, they commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his wickedness. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone forth into all the land. We have to be careful about what prophets we listen to. And I see this more and more in our society, and especially in portions of our media. And Jeremiah is saying, he's pointing out a problem then, which is a problem today. He says, "Thus the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.'" We see examples of that in our society, right? So you don't have to listen to the Lord. You don't have to follow the commandments. You don't have to listen to your conscience. It'll all be well with you, right? That's not a new thing. "And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No evil shall come upon you.'" So in other words, Tim, you have your truth. Billy, you have your truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. Everybody has their own truth. Follow their own heart. "Oh, no evil will come upon you." It's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, "Follow me." The Lord says, "Listen to my word. Keep your word in my heart." I was blessed by Bishop Hannington's sermon 2 weeks ago and how he talked about the fact that God is good. And God is good. And God is so good that he will not leave us in our own folly. Tim read it so well. "Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord?" What has straw in common with wheat? Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. This is John the Baptist speaking. Everybody remembers John the Baptist, right? Crazy guy walked around the desert wearing a hair shirt, shouting from his lungs, "Repent, for the time is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. He says of the Lord, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." My friends, we're in a time where it's no longer easy to live as a Christian. If you watch the news, you can see it. You know, you send your kids to a to what you think is a good school, but they may have programs that are not teaching Christian values. You open a place of business and you provide a service to people. And people that don't espouse Christian virtues, more than that, they are adamantly against Christian virtues. They come in and they ask you to do something that is against your faith. And you say either, well, you either capitulate to them and do it, or you say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And they sue you. And not only do they sue you, but they try to destroy you. You have just example after example after example in society that shows that it's getting harder and harder to live out our faith. And that's what the world wants. They want to try to contain the church into the church. And they talk about freedom of worship and not freedom of religion. But what has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? So if you take wheat, you have the wheat growing in the ground. It's harvest time. So you harvest the wheat, and the straw is left, right? So let's say the wheat is the good word of the Lord, the true word of the Lord. And you have that wheat, and you let the Holy Spirit take and crush that wheat and grind it into flour, add water and other things to it, and you apply fire to that wheat, that dough. What happens? It makes bread. It rises and makes bread and is sustaining to you. The Word of God is the bread of life. But you take the straw or the chaff, and it's no good for anything anymore, right? So what do you do with it? You burn it. You burn the straw. You burn the chaff. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord? Sharper, more piercing than any two-edged sword. Is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? I was really blessed by a Deacon Robert's sermon last week. Thank you, Deacon Robert. Amen. And when I was studying the Hebrews passage, it's just, I love Hebrews. Hebrews to me is written in such straightforward, easy to read language. And it's just, it's a very accessible book. And I was reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In other words, so that you may have hope.
Yeah.
So that you may have hope. God gives us the hope. It says, therefore, and we all know this verse and we've memorized it and we should always have it on our hearts. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that cling so closely. And let us run with perseverance or endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus was the pioneer and perfecter of the Christian life. We can't live the Christian life successfully. Only Jesus can. We can ask Him to send us the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us. He's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. What was the joy that was set before Him? Anybody know? Yes. The joy that was set before Him was seeing all His people come into heaven. That was His number one goal. The joy that was set before Him was not the resurrection. The joy that was set before Him was our salvation. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in our struggle against sin, we have not resisted to the point of shedding our blood. That may come in the near future. I believe it's been coming for some Christians in Africa. And at some point it may come for us. You know, I've quoted this line a few times. It says, I don't think I could be a saint, but I could probably be a martyr if they killed me quick enough. So we pray for Jesus to give us the strength to endure. We pray for Jesus to give us the truth through His word and through the prophets that He sends our way, through the church and through other means. And we ask Him to lead us and guide us as we approach our own crosses, that we may see in our lives, and as we approach our ultimate joy, which is life with Him in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.